the crash, Valium would have helped that patient. Said, hey babe, take a walk on the wild side. I said, hey honey, take a walk on the wild side. And the colored girls say, doot doo 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 doo.
The song is actually a thinly veiled biography of several of the regular superstars at Andy Warhol's studio, The Factory. Holly Woodlawn, Candy Darling, and Jackie Curtis were three cross-gendered performers who worked in several Warhol films. Curtis and Darling would both tragically die young. Actors Joe D'Alessandro and Joe Campbell are referred to in the song as Little Joe and Sugar Plum Fairy. The song attempted to capture Warhol's scene musically and is still played decades later. The Rainbow Minute is produced by Judd Proctor and Brian Burns at WRIR in Richmond, Virginia, and read by volunteers like me, John Porter.
Thanks for tuning into This Way Out, brought to you by the nonprofit Overnight Productions. Program material this week came from Wenzel Jones and Carol Myers, with thanks to Brian DeShazer, from Mike Rutz and John Porter, produced by Judd Proctor and Brian Burns, from Outcasters Drew, Lauren, and Lucas, produced by Mark Soffis, and from Janet Mason. Josephine Baker, Sylvester, and Lou Reed performed some of the music you heard, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. This Way Out thanks the Kicking Assets Fund of the Tides Foundation, the Ivana Foundation, the estate of Christopher David Trentham, our contributing affiliate stations, and you, our individual listener donors, who make this program possible. Help keep our 30-year streak going at the all-new thiswayout.org. Look for This Way Out Radio on Facebook, Twitter, SoundCloud, Stitcher, iTunes, and Google Plus. Smile at Overnight Productions on Amazon. Email tworadio@aol.com or write to us at P.O. Box 1065, Los Angeles, California 90078, USA.
Good evening. The time is 7:01. You are listening to KBOO Portland, and up next is the moment you've all been waiting for, Calculated Conversations.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of The Fritz Wall Show on Tuesday, May 29th at 9 p.m. at Mississippi Studios in Portland. Fritz Wall will be headlining this show, playing songs off her latest release, the self-written and produced Avenue A. Also playing will be David Barber and Radio Phoenix, mixing hip-hop and jazz, and Trent Barspel, who mixes jazz and modern music. Again, that's the Fritz Wall Show on Tuesday, May 29th at 9 p.m. at Mississippi Studios, 3939 North Mississippi Avenue in Portland. This is a 21 and over event. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
We're celebrating KBOO's 50th anniversary on June 3rd at 2 p.m. at the Oregon Historical Society's Outdoor Plaza. Join us for music, fun, special guests, and bring a homemade birthday cake to share and help us celebrate. Bike to the party as part of our Pedal Palooza bike ride. The ride begins at 1 p.m. at KBOO, 20 Southeast 8. Come ride your bike from our building to former locations of the radio station and end at the celebratory 50th anniversary of the very day we first switched on our transmitter and began broadcasting to and with the communities of Portland. Again, that's our 50th birthday party on Sunday, June 3rd at 2 p.m. at the Oregon Historical Society, 1200 Southwest Park Avenue in Portland. More information on the party and our history can be found at 50yearsofkboo.fm.
Happy birthday, happy birthday.
KBOO. Perpetrating but scared to kick reality.
Man, you've been doing all this dope producing. You ain't had a chance to show them what time it is.
So what you want me to do?
Spread yourself.
Hey, 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 you back again with yet another episode of Calculated Conversation.
Yes.
On KBOO Community Radio 90.7. David Jefferson, I'm your host. Co-host Ken Jones is also in the building once again.
Yeah.
You know?
How you been, brother?
Good, man, good. Just enjoying being mentally in control for the most part and trying to stay conscious again of the blessings and just keep acknowledging the blessings on a daily basis. And that's the stuff that kind of keeps me from, I think, letting so many things affect me. It's just like a form of energy management.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like as smart as I think I am, you know, as much as I think I've learned, I just kind of trip because I realize how much more I got to learn still.
Right.
You know, and that's the reason why I try to make sure, like, people know that. You know, you do the same thing, that we really ain't no professionals up here.
Yeah.
You know, we just kind of learning, and we just happen to be able to kind of spread the news as fast as possible,
right.
I guess, is kind of the way I look at it. Like, if somebody in your class and they just kind of whisper to you in the back and be like, hey, man, I think this is what's going on.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? In the class. So,
right.
You know, but so, yeah. So I like that, man. So it's, you know, really just being able to stay in control of that, man, has been my focus in, like, trying to maintain my composure.
You sound like you was getting tested.
I can't imagine, man, a human being right now that's not getting tested.
Yeah.
On some level. You know, but, I mean, I'm amazed that I'm becoming even more conscious, and so I'm thinking about this a lot more, and I'm practicing, like,
it's becoming primary.
Yeah, I'm practicing, you know, gratuity, man, and like just understanding blessings. And so a lot of things is just kind of rolling off my shoulder, and I'm not really thinking twice about them like a normal person would.
Yeah.
And so I think it's kind of cool that you can do that, because I don't think, you know, I'll be like, dang, I bet you people don't even realize they could just actually not care about, or not care, but be able to manage, like, the information and the situations that they actually are in front of on any given day, and realize that they could actually handle it mentally and be done with it and not have to carry it into your next segment of life or your next move or the next location you're going to.
Yeah.
Like, you can actually do that, you know, and I don't think people realize that, because a lot of conversations that I have with people about being frustrated is something that happened before they even seen me.
Okay.
You know, so that's the baggage just coming with you. And I'll be, you know, so I've just been thinking, that's just kind of been one of my, I mean, plenty of things have happened, but that's just one of the things I've been really thinking about lately. Like, I'm becoming more in control of my reaction to random situations in society that don't necessarily benefit me in the beginning.
Right.
You know, so that's kind of one of my things.
That's interesting. I feel like I definitely pay attention to that. Have gotten better at recognizing that, not even paying attention, just recognizing it up front in just some of the casual conversations, and also not taking the idea of not taking stuff personally,
right?
You know, people's own issues and them being projected on you for whatever reason. Really getting better with just being like, well, that's how you're going. Yep, I ain't got much for it, you know. I can give some advice, I can go back and forth, but if everything that I drop you got a counter for, then I'm good.
Well, I mean, you know, like, the way I look at it, you know, the reason why we here, the reason why we write, you know, why we do this show, and a lot of stuff we write, you know, on the regular basis, just on social media, and the reason we have these conversations on and off radio, on and offline, is because, you know, I'm noticing, you know, I kind of came up with this idea that I feel like, and I wrote some about this on social media today, that I kind of feel like the world takes advantage of those that are not able to control the things and the information that enters into their minds, into their heads, and not being able to control that information and really process it properly, it'll make you susceptible, you know, to a lot of the demons that the world can produce. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so it's like they, you know, I come up with this idea that they actually devour those, or they're not mentally prepared to handle the things thrown at you on a regular basis. So in my mind, you know, I think I think the defeat to that, I think the, you know, to conquer these things, The number one goal has to be to strengthen us and everybody that we can mentally.
Right.
You know, try to, you know, encourage some mental independence, mental emancipation, so that you can process the things that are happening to you in this life and in this world by other people and strangers, loved ones, jobs, whatever. You can process the information. You can pull out a true meaning, and you can act or not react accordingly, mm-hmm. I guess. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? And so it's like, and with that, the world won't really be able to sway you into the palms of his hot, sweaty negativity that is trying to bring people in and, mm-hmm. and have them carry that down to their next generation right. and push that out, you know, again, on their family, their social media, their relationships, you know, their day-to-day conversations, you know, their mm-hmm. day-to-day miscommunication with other members of society. This is what I think the world does to those who can't process that information. Yeah. So I'm just glad that we are continuously trying to build formulas and build philosophies that help people mentally separate themselves from the things society is trying to put on them so that they can handle this stuff. And as they handle these things, they pass, you know, this energy and this power down to their family, their wife, their kids, husband, and we start to create a new trend of people that actually are not being changed by the world, but right. are actually trying to change the world.
Right.
You know what I mean? So
I think it goes, you know, to the idea mm-hmm. that it's a lot easier just to run on autopilot. You know what I mean? And take whatever's told to you and just run with that,
right.
rather than taking the time to, you know, dig a little bit deeper or question it.
Right.
You know, I think there's a conversation I was having recently mm-hmm. about the idea of how many people are in the middle on pretty much everything.
Right.
Right. And it's the people, there's a lot of brilliant people in that middle part, that comfort area.
Right.
There's a lot of people there. And it's typically the people who step out of there, those are first met with a lot of, I don't even say a lot, but it's some type of ridicule. There's some kind of backlash for stepping out of that middle area.
Right.
Because it's like, what do you mean? This is what's been told. This is what's been said. But it's the people stepping out of that area.
Right.
And after a while, it seems to pick up. You know, you think of somebody like Tesla. That was a great something I was watching last night with. And Tesla, you know, Nikola Tesla, being alive and having his ideas that he had, mm-hmm. you know, as great as we think about it now, you know, you got the Tesla vehicles running around, mm-hmm. His understanding of electricity. And at that time, he never got that notoriety. People, you know, kind of laughed at the ideas and so on, what he said he could do, what was possible.
Mm-hmm.
And on top of that, died with nothing. And now celebrated much later.
Right.
The things that, you know, it sucks that so much was lost
right.
after he passed, but the things that were salvaged and put into use, and now we're seeing
right.
some of the effects of that. You know what I mean? And that's somebody that got out of that middle and went left or went right, whatever way he chose, and he was met with a certain amount of disregard
right.
because he was challenging the common thought process.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So that's I think just something that we got to take into account. Something you had said though earlier, just about, you know, caring less about certain things,
mm-hmm.
and not to be careless,
right?
You know,
right.
there's not a difference.
That, yeah.
Not careless, but to care less about things that you really have no control over,
right.
and how much like the power of words, the power of the things you're taking in, what that can really do for you mentally,
mm-hmm.
and once you start having more control and giving yourself, feeding yourself a certain type of stimulus, I guess. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying like stop listening to all your favorite songs, that's crazy, none of that stuff.
Right.
But again, what you're feeding yourself with, the type of reading you're doing, the if you're watching news every day, you know, tone back from that. Maybe take that time to pick up a book on a subject you like, you know, something else to just kind of nourish, but understand that the power of not only words you speak, but the words that you take in. And if you're gonna sit and be dealing with, you know, if people coming to you, they're toxic and constantly around stuff being spewed to you,
mm-hmm.
toxic, after a while, that's gonna start affecting you.
Right.
You know what I mean? And that's what's gonna be running through your head.
Right.
And so it's definitely one of those things you gotta step back and really look at it. But
right.
I think what you were saying in there kind of tied in, I told you I brought the little drop.
Right. Right.
So for the listeners, we're about to get ready to go into, I brought a snippet from my uncle in my head, Leslie Brown. And let me let you guys get a little piece of this and just see how this kind of ties in with what we were just speaking about.
Right, and before we do that, make sure that you know, you guys have the number up here if you want to call in, make a suggestion about a conversation, or just give us your experience, or just tell us how we're doing. We appreciate it. 503-231-8187. And so feel free to call up and check up on us, man, and let's talk about that.
Bada bam, here we go.
I got to thinking how amazing my life would be right now if all my poor decisions from my yesterdays were replaced with the powerful, positive, and deliberate decisions. I started to think about the quote, "Yesterday you said you would start tomorrow." I got thinking about another quote that said, "A year from now, you would wish you have started today." Think about it for a minute. What if, just hypothetically, what if every decision you made today was deliberate? What if every decision you made from this moment forward was one that took you in the direction of your dreams? Not sidewards, not backwards, but forward. Think how different and amazing your life would be in 10 years, 5 years, even 1 year or less if every action you took was powerful. Think about all the unconscious decisions you make every single day. Health, financial, even in relationships. Think about things like smoking or drinking. Little decisions we make, like picking up a treat instead of being disciplined and making our health and body more important than a brief moment of satisfaction. Why do we both perceive limitations and at the same time remain in the ordinary? Most of us do it because we don't want to fall out of place. We don't want to be left out. And as stupid as that sounds, we tend to be that stupid. We as humans do not want to soar like an eagle, right? Because most of our friends are on the ground plodding around like headless turkeys. They won't fly, so we won't fly. We can't say no to a night out with friends. They might not love us anymore. One drink won't hurt, right? One treat won't hurt, right? Listen, but it does. It stops us from reaching our full potential. And then we look back on our life with the worst of all emotions, regret. We think things like, "I could have done this," or "I should have done that, but I didn't." What if today you took excuses off the table and took only positive action towards your financial goals? Listen, do you think that it is possible for you to be a millionaire within 1 year, regardless of your current situation? Of course you could. Of course it is possible. But listen, possible and what you're going to do about it are two totally different things. Possible and your excuses aren't going to dance together to bring about results. Do you not know that there have been plenty of humans before you that have become millionaires and started out from a worse position than you are? Yeah, there have. So listen, now that you know it's possible to have and be anything you want, what's your excuse? Time is not an excuse. Most of us sleep far too much and waste far too much time. There's been plenty of full-time moms, full-time dads, young or even older generations that have become abundant in all areas of their life. So time is not an excuse. Circumstance is not an excuse. Listen, your current conditions is not an excuse. Take that first step. We get comfortable living the average lives and we somehow think that it's easier to remain average. Struggling for money to pay for some bills, struggling for energy to give our loved ones, struggling for everything except the small initial struggle to get what we deserve. Abundance is there waiting for you. Just decide, commit, and remain disciplined no matter what obstacles are thrown your way. Have a clear vision of the body, relationships, happiness, and abundance that you want, and commit to only the things and the decisions that will put you in the direction of your dreams. Just think, just dream. What if I took every step in a forward direction? What if every decision was powerful? Thank you.
Yes. So that wasn't Uncle Les Brown, but that was still one of the pieces that we were going to touch on. So right quick, reaction, brother.
Reaction. feel guilty. You know, those type of videos and, you know, audio books and stuff, man, they just kind of, they just make me feel guilty because I always feel like I could be doing more. You know what I mean? You know, taking steps forward is one thing. I mean, I think we're still doing that, but it's just a matter of every single step in the same direction, or, you know what I mean? And, you know, it's just, and that's something that we all got to look at. You know, that's just a lot of accountability. It's a lot of responsibility. It's a lot of commitment. It's a lot of being uncomfortable. It's a lot of sacrifice, you know, and those are the qualities that only, you know, self-made success stories, you know, possess, you know, like everybody. I mean, we all have the ability to have those, but we just have to be extremely uncomfortable. Like, we really have to take not only control of our minds, but now we got to take control of our bodies as well. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? And like, everything's got to kind of be in you know, in line, parallel, like going the exact same direction, like any time a move is made, you know, and it takes a lot of work, man, but I think it's definitely doable. You know, it's something that we all really have capabilities of achieving, I believe that.
And see, I look at it like this, and I think this is something that we all do, and it makes some of our goals and some of the things we want to achieve seem way out of touch, is that we think of it as a whole. And the thing is, we think the only success is once we reach that goal and not counting those steps along the way as many successes. You know what I mean? The idea, let's, you know, just weight, for instance. Say you want to drop 30 pounds, you know, it's people that they're losing weight and it's like, okay, but it's not like, you know, instead of thinking I need to lose 30, let me lose a pound and a half a week.
Right.
A pound and a half every 2 weeks. You know, that breaks it down into a much more attainable, and for the mind, it's not so overwhelming.
Right.
And if you're just following those things up, and again, it doesn't have to be, it could be that just that one area. You know, there definitely are those people who are wired away where everything is so strategic in their life and how they approach everything. I'm not one of those people.
Right.
You know, I've got definitely my things I have my focuses on, and then the things I let slack, like, you know, human nature. You know, your focus can be only so many places at one time.
Right.
But being able to find these small things that you do would like to reach towards, you know, and putting these things out and listing them as smallers, breaking them down.
Right.
You know, the idea of, you know, $100, you know, having to achieve $100 in a week and breaking that down, you know, let's say that Monday through Friday that you're working, it's $20 a day, thinking of how can I secure $20 a day?
Right.
And you'll have that 100 at the end of the week outside of just thinking like 100, because what you think is you have to get that 100 at once.
Right.
You know, you think you have to grab all of it at once instead of just having these little pieces working up towards it. And that leads me into just the idea of accountability. And, you know, of course, we have personal accountability, accountability for ourselves and for our actions, which is great. Mm. But I do have a strong belief that it does sometimes take the partner.
Right.
It takes, you know, the team.
Mm-hmm.
It takes people around you to kind of be that motivation. That's why you got Zumba classes that go crazy and be stupid packed. You know, this is stuff people could do in their living room, but it's something about coming together and being able to kind of have that support and other people that are thinking like you and wanting to get, you know, themselves together in this certain type of way. They jump into it and make that happen. And I think that's dope. You know, and again, that runs in so many arenas, so many different types of support groups and everything else. It's about building. Mm-hmm. And having somebody to be like, hey, you know, Let's get here. Let's knock this out. Or, you know, if you don't feel like it that day, it may be that mental thing that now you don't want to get shown up. So it almost becomes a personal challenge.
Right,
you know what I mean?
Right.
Which can help motivate and help keep you going, especially if you've made a promise out loud, you know, made this declaration out loud and want to prove not only it's not even so much about the other people, but to yourself that you'll follow through,
right?
Which I think is huge. Right. So something that want to throw out there, you know, for the listeners, is with this idea of accountability and having accountability partners, I'm looking into having the Calculated Conversation show, which is the like page. So that's different from the Calculated Conversation, just main Facebook page. So the like page is at Calculated Conversation. And you'll know the difference because that one says show at the end. And to go there, you know, like the page and to start putting, start to build an accountability network. You know, if it's these small goals that you have and things that you feel that you would like to have some type of support, just somebody to check in, you know, or somebody to bounce questions off of, just things, even if it's just something to motivate. You know, I love when I see people doing progress photos and just showing the steps towards attaining, you know, something that they're going for. And it's not just for, you know, physical stuff, right. Just whatever steps it is working towards it. I've seen people go from an idea to owning their own business and putting out the steps along the way, kind of sharing with us the different things they've kind of gotten to towards that. So you're kind of being able to see this and can help cheer them on, you know, and it's not in a weird way, you know, sometimes just out in the streets, it can get weird when people are seeing people's success and they're trying to put it out because they take it as bragging, as opposed to being happy about themselves, happy with themselves for following through on something that they put out to the people.
Right,
you know, put out in front of their self first and foremost, but then put it out to the people, you know, for most likely for the inspiration and the motivation.
Right.
Everybody likes a pat on the back every now and again.
That's right.
You know what I mean? So I think that's something that I really would like, you know, the listeners to take part in. Go check the page out. There'll be more information there. There's already something up on the page, so go check it out and see what that is. Right. And let's see what we can kind of get going in motion.
Man, I like that idea, though.
Yeah.
People chance to kind of like feel like kind of a family vibe.
Righteous.
You know, like you got people that's pushing you and supporting you. Because, I mean, one thing I know is that, like, one thing I do understand is that a lot of us, you know, don't have friends and family and people that really, really hold us accountable, you know, in the positive way.
Right.
You know, we just have people around us for under certain circumstances, for certain conveniences. But when it's time to help us grow, you know, those people aren't available. They're not there for that.
Right.
You know what I mean? And so it's like, and that's the beauty of, I think, you know, Calculated Conversation and what we're doing here, and hopefully Society College and stuff like that, man, we trying to let people know we care about their progress, you know? Like, I got a lot of friends and family and stuff, and, you know, and it's like the love is all based off certain things, whether it's just liquor or it's just something else, or it's just chasing opposite sex. But when you need somebody, when you're going through something, especially as a man, like when you're going through certain things, and not having, you know, another man to say, man, you know, like, I mean, I'm with you. I care about you. Forget all the partying and having fun. I just want to see you do good. So whatever you need, whenever you need me, I'll be there. You know, we don't have people like that. You know, always, you know, at the very least, at the most, a lot of men just say, man, tough it out, man. You'll get through that.
Right.
You know what I mean? But a real, but it's like a real brotherhood, you know, and men are really missing that, you know. Yeah. And I see that all the time when I go visit my friends and family.
Yeah.
You know, I realize that they probably not even telling each other that they love each other, even though they probably do. They probably not saying that I appreciate you. I see what you're doing. And I see your progress, and I just want you to know that I'm watching, and you know, and I'm proud of you. They don't say that stuff.
Not at all.
You know what I mean? And so it's like, you know, we got to make a point of saying this to people you care about. Like, I'm proud of you. I care about you. I like what you're doing, you know. And of course, it could be uncomfortable, you know, I guess as a man, from what society, you know, taught us about masculinity and testosterone and, you know, things like that. I mean, but at some point, you know, men probably want to hear that stuff too, man. Mm-hmm. Or they eventually start to lash off and become distant from the world, and then they become filled with like a lack of love for things and people and expression, you know. And then everybody thinks that this person doesn't love anything anymore.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And so I don't know, man. That's just something that I noticed. It's on subject, kind of off, but it's just kind of part of like, it is part of accountability.
Right.
You know, we got to be accountable to our friends and family aside from things that are convenient, acts of joy and fun and, you know, pleasure and party. And sometimes it's just really, really solid mental support and appreciation, you know, and expression. So that
the right type of expression.
You know what I mean? Like the right type of expression, you know. And so, And, you know, and this group would be a good way to do that, you know, to, you know, log onto the calculation calculated conversation fan page and click that like and let's start putting our goals up there. And, you know, it's highly likely that we'll bump into people that have already achieved some of those goals or have the same goals and start to build like an alliance and, you know, personal accountability for. I mean, we might start matching people.
Right. That's what I was going to say. Yeah, having some where, you know, it's something that may spawn into just doing, you know, these different kind of challenges that we are all a part of and show our results, you know, and not even necessarily a competition, but just getting from here to here and seeing what we can do within a set, you know, parameter. Yeah. I think that could be something dope. Well, something you mentioned about just the display of emotions and being able to, you know, feel some type of way about somebody, but not necessarily putting that out and on them, and especially being young men. I was watching a Scared Straight, and, you know, it was one of the dudes in there, which this last two seasons it got crazy aggressive. They actually be snatching the kids up, and they got to spend the night. It didn't used to be like that. But anyways, one of the joints were one of the Scared Straight staff at snatch, you know, one of the kids in the room, and he's going bad on them at first. And the kid is sitting there, you know, just kind of looking at him. He got a little tears and stuff building. And when dude was done yelling so much and was like, "What's wrong with you?" The kid looked him right in the eyes and was like, "I'm hurting." Now, that shook me. You know what I mean? And dude didn't even know, he didn't even have a come, but he wasn't expecting that. So his come was like, "Well, use that to do good." You know what I mean? But that was one of those moments where I'm hoping that somebody from the show, somebody watching that back, his parent, somebody comes across that and realizes that was the cry.
Right.
You know what I mean? And that's going back into what you were talking about as far as sometimes those the people that may not be able to express these things do let certain things out in a certain way.
Right.
And for us to be better about the people we care about. You know, we can't catch everybody's stuff. We don't know. But the people that we know, we know when something's a little bit different.
Right.
And those little things like that that may be an actual cry for help without wanting to put it all on you.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? So just something to keep in mind. We all heard at a time or two.
Right. And again, the number up here is 503-231-8187. Give us a call. Let us know what you're thinking, how you're feeling. If any of these conversations resonate with you, you know, let us know, man. We're here to listen. We're here to talk. We're here to communicate. But, yeah, so that's cool, man, you know. And it's like, I think the main thing to, you know, again, to make sure people know is that, like, we really here just to try to support people in building up the mental, you know, building up their mental awareness of what's going on in this world, because you don't want to be in this world and not know what's going on and not know how to, you know, maneuver yourself through it so you can kind of get out of it what you need, you know, and give what you have to give to the people that need it. You know, and so we have to mentally strengthen each other. So conversations can do it, you know, experiences, sharing experiences can do it, you know, telling somebody you love them, we haven't heard that in a long time, something like that can do it. Telling somebody you're there for them, that you support them regardless, something like that can do them. Telling somebody you see them doing, you see their hard work and you appreciate them. Something like that can do it, you know. It's the simple things, you know, and that gives a person a whole new level of energy that they can use to continue to be great, you know, continue to share with other people and continue to, you know, kind of spread that love down to their own family, family members and you know, coworkers and colleagues and whatnot, you know. And so we just gotta, that's the way we going. Whatever problem that you think we have in this world, maybe not every single problem, but most of them are going to be resolved by, you know, really taking control of our thoughts and really processing information that happens to us and happens to other people and trying to create the best formula and the best level of understanding with that information. And what that does is bring people closer, you know, because it turns into actions. And once it turns into actions, people get closer. And as people get closer, they understand each other more and they work together better. You know, when people work together better, you know, we obviously are all holding hands, and we're all working on the same thing and to make it a better place. And so we got to just keep that in mind, man. It's really important that you understand what's going on in your mind, and that you're able to look at what's happening in the world and properly kind of, you know, decipher that, you know, into the right meaning, you know, which is going to be good for, you know, mankind alike everywhere, you know. And so that's the goal, and that's why we're doing this. Just keep that in mind, you know. Every little aspect of this conversation is to build the mental. Every time we speak up here is to try to build a mental somewhere where maybe somebody didn't understand something, or they missed, or, you know, because we know one thing we do know is that a lot of people go through the exact same experiences. Mm-hmm. Another thing we also know is a lot of people don't know what those experiences mean, and they have trouble processing them. And oftentimes you can make the wrong decision trying to process if you haven't been supported in your awareness, or you know, in your understanding of what social formulas are and how they work and how people work. And this is why we're here. Yeah. And so let's just all keep that in mind. So,
yeah. And I think that, you know, that's a great point. I mean, with your friends, you know, I understand that, you know, all things ain't for everybody. You know, this isn't a thing saying it's just going to the world and everybody's your friend now. You know, there's people that are at least within your circle. Right. You know, we can take it to that level, at least within your circle, to make sure you continuously pump them. Also call them on where they need correction.
That's right.
Things that can be corrected. Not a fault, it's not wrong, it's just something that can be corrected, can be adjusted, and can help that person thrive a bit more. Mm-hmm. You know, but having these conversations, you know, my it's a couple of my partners, I feel like we may not talk for 3 months, 6 months, have a phone call, it'll run an hour, hour and a half.
Right.
And it's like we didn't talk all through the week. And the information exchange in there, you know what I mean, is about building. But it's also taking that time to, again, correct right. the things we may have seen right. along the way, that it's like we just haven't had a chance to sit and go back and forth about this. But all these circles, or everybody's circle, I feel like, should be able to have these type of conversations.
That's right.
You know what I mean? The hard ones, the fun ones, you know, all of that is a part of it. And how much it means to really pump somebody, because you don't never know what nobody's dealing in their day-to-day. And it's like, you know, we go out into the world, sometimes it can be a harsh place, depending on where you are. Mm-hmm. And to be able to have that support when you come back, and again, it don't have to be a boo-hoo cry fest, none of that, just a conversation and going back and getting feedback. Right. You know, that's the biggest thing, is just throwing the questions out there, some of the questions that you may have. Mm-hmm. You know, and at least if you got a person or two, at least one person, you know, that you can be able to try to build that with.
That's right.
And I know there's people out there that's going to say, you know, there's nobody, I don't, you know, there's somebody. Yeah. It may not be the person that you are wanting in that moment,
right.
because, you know, that's who you feel should be, but there's somebody right. here that'll listen, somebody here that'll let you bounce these ideas off of them. And it's, you know, taking advantage of that. And this is something I'm working and have been working on myself, as far as not just letting it run in my head and putting it on paper, but asking questions about some of the ideas, just to see what people would say. People that's not even aware of the things that, you know, I may be looking into.
Right.
Just getting these different perspectives and trying to see what's the common thread amongst the responses.
Right.
You know, so take advantage of that. People, build your circle up. Build the people around you up. We need that.
Again, my phone number is 503-231-8187. Okay, we got about 22 minutes left. So we're going to need you to go ahead and call in and tell us. Right. You'll need to call in, you know, call us like that lady at the barbecue did, the cats in Oakland, get on the phone. But, you know.
For that good hour and 45 minutes on hold.
Right.
We're going to put you through.
Yeah, but, you know, I like what you said about, I think it was extremely important is being able, you know, and you know, my friends know this, you know, and this is why my popularity is volatile in my family,
right.
You know, in my relationships as well, because it's like, I have like, I'm just to a point in my life where I have no problem kind of breaking down what the advantages are and the disadvantages are, you know, and looking at the call outs and opportunities for growth. I mean, I really care about my people, man.
Yeah.
Like, I really do. And I realize that I have information that they don't have. Mm-hmm. And I know it's not, I know it's a little bit abnormal, unorthodox information. I know they don't expect it coming from me and mm-hmm. where we come from and stuff like that. But I just can't resist, man, you know, because I know that, like, I'm doing a disservice if I'm not, you know, holding people accountable. Mm-hmm. And so, and people not wanting to be held accountable is always going to be what your drawback is going to be. Mm-hmm. And that's what's going to separate a lot of your friendships and your relationships. And mm-hmm. that's going to break down a lot of so-called, you know, relationships, love, you know, yeah. Intimacy, man, all the things that separate people, man, are just, you know, people having different ideas of what this is, whatever that really is. Yeah. You know what I mean? And so it's tough, man, but you got to hold your people accountable. If you love your people and you see them going down the wrong lane, or they going down one way in the wrong direction, you got to say something. You yeah. know, you can't be like, oh, they don't want me talking to them. Yeah. I know how they get.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, that could be you could be the savior. That could be your last time even seeing them, you right. know what I mean, and it's uncomfortable to be real, because the society really basically said that anyone that's real with you and upfront and extremely truthful is going to be your enemy, you know, because they're trying to change what we have going on, which is already obviously working fine, right? Right. You know what I'm saying? And so
we'd like to think,
right? And so yeah, I mean, holding your people accountable. Not only that, you know, please, please trust and believe and love and appreciate your friends that hold you accountable, even at the risk of losing your friendship and your relationship, your brotherhood, because they know that maybe you're not really good with really communicating about things like mm-hmm. this. But if you got friends like that, you know, trust that they love you and they care about you and they want to see you succeed, even if it has nothing to do with them, you know, because mm-hmm. it takes a lot for us, you know, to be able to tell somebody that they have opportunities for growth, mm-hmm. knowing that we possibly going, you know, make a friendship a little bit shaky because, yeah. you know, but when that happens, you know what I mean? Like, we still don't, I mean, it's kind of like you kind of have to do it. The universe is saying, I don't really care about what they like or what you like. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? This information has to be given to this person, and I need you to give it to them.
Right.
You care about them. You want them successful. You want them happy. Do you see where they're going? I mean, are you seeing, you have information they don't have. And so it's like, you got to find a way to share that and try to keep the friendship.
Yeah.
And so if you got a friend like that, you have to let them help you, support you and love you in that way. That's real love. Everything else is just kind of convenient and association with people, but yeah. this is what real love is.
Right.
Not always telling you what you want to hear, and not always being super nice to you, and not you know, not always sugarcoating stuff. You
right.
know what I mean? Like, real love is giving you real information and a real opportunity to take a look at yourself and kind of go over some things that you may be able to grow from and
right.
grow through, and also become even that much more successful. Only somebody that care about you is going to take that risk.
Right.
Period. And so
I think even another layer to add on there is the idea of that person who's willing to do that, that person actually values you.
Right.
They value your happiness,
mm-hmm.
even at the expense of your friendship,
right.
your relationship. But it's you, them seeing you going or putting yourself in positions possibly that will hurt you.
Right.
So if they can have this hour long, uncomfortable, whatever, and then you can take from that, and rather you're mad at them so you don't do whatever it
right.
is, you know what I mean? But instead of going that path, you chill out, take that into account, and just save yourself from this possible disaster. And again, people ain't always right. Ultimately, it's up to you to make the decision. It's not
right.
like if somebody's pointing something out, you know, that may be something they see, and they may see that without, you know, having full awareness of all the circumstances, you know, and understanding all the parameters, that if they knew all that, maybe it could change what, you know,
right.
what they're putting out. But to be open and at least be receptive for somebody speaking up and actually saying something, as opposed to just agreeing
mm-hmm.
and going with you.
Right. Exactly.
You know,
that's
huge.
Right. And that's anyways, we got we'll get right back to that. We got Carl on the line. Let's bring him in. Carl, you there?
Hi, David.
Hey, what's up, man? We meet again.
Yeah.
What's going on?
You're triggering me.
Uh-oh. let's fire it off then.
Anyway, it's all good. so good, Trigger. So that, yeah, that listening to your uncle, that recording was triggered some thoughts for me, I guess. One is, you know, just it's an observation I have of, you know, I'm this average white guy that grew up with a lot of privileges. But the one thing that I think works against or doesn't or can hurt the movement, so to speak, is just being too loud and too, you know, too passionate, I guess. I mean, just loudness and militancy and stuff like that, because I think that, you know, I think that the thing that created slavery and racism and all that stuff is, you know, it's selfishness and a lack of caring, and, you know, that's pretty well it. But, and I think the only cure for it is caring for, you know, caring for ourselves, caring for other people, and communicating that, you know, that I think the cure has to happen in a caring kind of way, in a, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you definitely got to have some compassion and
right,
so on, moving through and navigating anything. And that's, yeah, just a general, you know, just caring about people in general.
Right.
You know, of course.
Just the way it's communicated, the way it's, you know, the way you talk with people. And because I know for myself, you know, I'm a passionate person, but I don't, you know, I don't exactly express myself that way under most circumstances. You know, I'm pretty passive and right, I listen and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But when I, you know, when I, my tendency is to get loud and forceful when I try to, you know, when I try to communicate something because I'm so passionate about it. But, you know, that is, can actually backfire. You know, people are threatened by that and they step away rather than stepping in closer.
Mm. Right. That, sure. No, that's actually true, mm, man. And so there's actually like a serious formula to, I think one of the most important things that a lot of people have not learned in these social interactions and, you know, these conversations is how to bring up something uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. There's an actual formula that, so that you can protect yourself from offending somebody, mm-hmm, from getting off subject, mm-hmm, and also protect, yeah, and also protect yourself from being dishonest and lying and not saying the full truth. Like, there's a formula around all that, and it has to do with information, has to do with your voice, you know, yeah, reflection, has to do with your tone, has to do with, yeah, your body language, your eye contact. You know, there's a lot of different, I mean, some people try to talk and they got their fist balled up, you
right,
know what I'm
saying? Right.
So, right, you know what I mean? So I definitely know where you're at, Carl. And there is a very fine line, with getting across sensitive information. If you don't know that line, where that line is, there could be a chance that most people probably going to cross it.
Mm-hmm.
Cause I mean, yeah, you know, right, you have to be very, very careful.
Yeah.
Otherwise the conversation will go from, the content to the delivery.
Yeah, exactly.
And we don't want to, the last thing I want to argue about is delivery.
Right.
Because that gets us nowhere.
Yeah.
You know?
That's a great way of putting that.
So. Yeah, good. So the other thing is, I emailed you a recording that I wanted you to listen to. That recording you played triggered a thought about this recording. It's pretty interesting. It's a poem by a guy that, I don't know, that some guy from New York that wrote it in the 60s, but it's pretty cool. So okay, check that out.
Yeah, I'll check it out. I gotta check that email.
That's it, I guess.
All righty, brother.
Thanks.
Carl, thanks, man.
See ya.
Bye. Right. Bada-bam.
Carl, he wasn't gonna wait till the last minute this time.
Righteous. No, I think...
Good point, though, Carl.
Yeah. That what he was saying for a second, it made me think about something I had noted on here, is about like setting your limits, right? And sometimes we go over on things, and like a simple way to put it is like, oh, I'm gonna go meet up with my people and go over here for an hour because I got some stuff to do later,
mm-hmm,
and then get over here and like, oh, I'll stay a couple more,
mm-hmm,
now it's 4 hours later, now you're trying to scramble to get the thing that you already had set to go. So it's almost this overindulgence, and you can do that in many arenas. Right. You know what I mean? Right. And I think, you know, even pulling it back and just piggybacking off of what he was kind of saying is that same thing of you have a point that you're trying to get to, you know, something that you want to present, this conversation, right. Something that you feel strongly about. Right. And if this is something that's already been going through your head, then I think you know you're going to approach somebody about this. So you kind of got to set a limit for yourself there too.
Right.
Of how this, when you feel yourself starting to do that thing that you know is your thing, where you're it's becoming too much for you to be able to contain, mm-hmm. that's where you may have to pull out mm-hmm. in that moment and find a different approach. You know right. what I mean? Something I feel like there's some people who definitely do shut down in having conversations.
Right.
And something I found about it right. You know, there's people I know that are a lot better getting through their thoughts, especially when their emotions are running.
Uh-huh.
And the thing that I think people who have that, they get even more frustrated that they kind of lost that point that they were trying to get to because right. these emotions start jumping up and it start going left and right. And like you said, it's now this is turning about the tone and the gestures and right. so on. So now yeah. it's getting convoluted in there and you kind of lose. And then you leave from that more frustrated that you didn't get off what you were trying to get off in the first place.
Right.
And even if it is taking some notes and you having your bullet points for a conversation to be able to stay on track, right. you know what I mean? Or pass a note over. If it's somebody close to you that you can hand it to,
right.
I mean, it won't work in all situations, but again, just a possibility to be used in some.
And there's going to be circumstances where the person, I mean, there are certain people that it doesn't matter how you say anything as long as it's a certain piece of content that yeah. they don't want to hear or that is too real.
Yeah,
they'll shut down on you, eliminate the need to continue to conversate, or they'll intentionally misinterpret what you're saying.
Yeah,
and that's where energy, you know, your energy management has to come in, because I think that's where people get loud. I know for myself.
Yeah,
like I mean. You know, it's like you're not understanding now. Right. Now you taking my point and you running and you interpreting something that I've already clearly stated.
Yeah.
And I think that's what gets people irritated at times too. Yeah. And then you have to realize that you're dealing with a person that actually may not be able to communicate. You know, some people just don't want to talk about things no matter what, no yeah. matter how you bring it. You got to respect that, and
yeah.
you got to get to the people that you can actually build these interactions yeah. with, you know what I mean, and build the energy around.
And even with that, something else too is I think sometimes up front, at least with some, you know, if you're dealing with somebody that you know is kind of irrational, so let me say somebody that's more rational. If you're dealing with somebody more rational, this approach is, again, thinking when emotions are kind of going, how you can kind of lose words in those moments, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or not hit the right words, because your word selection, your tone, those things combined can send right. things all over the place. But taking that second before to let them know we're having a conversation, I want to talk to you, and I want you to know what I'm not trying to do.
Right.
This is what I'm not trying to offend you. I'm not trying to, what I'm trying to get to, make the words, I may not have all the words there right in this moment.
Right.
And so I'm trying to walk through this. So just understand that these are the things I'm not trying to do.
Right.
You know what I mean? That I've kind of used that, you know, and it's worked in my favor
as a preliminary.
Yeah. Just to kind of let you know, like I need to talk, and I don't want it taken as this, because this is not where I'm at. This is not where I'm at. This is not where I'm at. So that way I'm eliminating the conclusion jumping that, are you trying to say this? I've already eliminated that. Right. These are the things I'm not trying to say.
Right.
And now this is what I'm saying. And I think kind of what you were, when you were talking about having, where explaining something and feeling like, I think I do a decent job of explaining right. myself. So sometimes it's like, how can I break this down any further
right.
than what I got it? And that's right. usually the point where it's like, okay, now I'm getting frustrated
right.
at this, and understanding that at the same time, though, I have to take it that maybe my communication right now is not effective. I'm clearly not using right. the right approach. Right. And that's when I got to remove. Like, okay, we just right. leave this here.
That's right.
You know, we can come back to it later.
Yeah, I mean, everybody just, you know, and again, that's why we have to keep having these conversations. Because even in the midst of, I mean, some of these, you know, who knows, who are these people? Like, you know, sometimes they're relationships, sometimes they're family members, sometimes they're coworkers, sometimes they're teachers and colleague and other students. I mean, you know, telling how long we've known these people and what formulas and what characteristics they've been accustomed to up until this time.
Right.
You know, and the way that they interpret language, interpret conversation, and interpret energy, interpret tone, it all could be so different. You know what I mean? And so... And we still have to understand how different that we are, and that our intentions can still be, you know, perceived in a somewhat negative fashion, right. You know, and at some point, and we still kind of got to try to be accountable for that, even with the good intentions, and kind of backtrack. But again, it takes two people both willing to dive into the fact that they are different, and these differences are going to come up, and when they do come up, when they do come up, let's talk about what was different here, and let's agree on that aspect, and let's move forward in the conversation.
Yes.
But it just takes two people. See, you can't just have one person that wants to communicate and one that just wants to hurry up and keep moving along to the next thing until this happens again.
Right.
You know, eventually the person that's communicating is going to cease communication, and you're going to feel that, you know, they don't really even want to talk to me anymore.
Right. Right.
You know, and it happens with us.
Right.
You know, like after a while, you just don't want to continue to beat a dead horse, and, you know, there's nothing to say.
Right.
You know,
so. Jesus.
Right.
Jesus. Another little tidbit I wrote down, just a little quote. And it goes back to just the idea of this building our accountability network. It's from Maya Hamm. I always said Mia. I don't know which one it is. But it's the old soccer player. She was in the Olympics for the U.S. But said, I'm a member of a team, and I rely on the team. I defer to it, sacrifice for it, because the team, not the individual, is the ultimate champion. And that's something that, you know, I've seen this.
That's right.
A couple different places, written in a couple different ways, communicated in a couple different ways. And really what it comes down to is the idea of, even if it's just the idea of your circle, you know, if you guys are doing this, and it's really about elevating, and it's really about making sure everybody good, making sure your team eat, this is something that got to be internalized, because that I, if it's always about just you, you know, that's how is the group going to make this work?
That's right.
You know, and hopefully, again, on a bigger scale, there's more things that are done for just as a whole, the idea of society as a whole, things that could be done at the ground level individually for the greater.
Right. I like it.
Righteous.
That whole team aspect, though, you know, is something that I'm always kind of talking about. Like, I want to feel like I'm on teammates. I'm a teammate with the people that I'm dealing with, and I want to feel like we got the same goal, even if we kind of come from, what if we come from different teams, but now we on the same team. Now we got a huddle, and now we got to create a new formula that we both are aware of to move forward.
We got to learn these plays.
You come to the huddle with your old plays. I come with my own plays. Chances are we're not going to score. You might even get on the opposite side of the ball somehow. You know, and so, you know, with that scenario and that analogy, you know, we do realize, okay, we come from different teams. Now we're on the same team, and there's still only one goal, and we both need to get there. And so you have to know what I'm doing, and I have to kind of know what you're going to do so I can play into that.
Right.
You know, if we don't communicate, if we don't huddle, if we don't talk, we don't build a relationship or a bridge or a plan or a formula, you can rest assured that we won't be crossing that end zone. Nobody's going to score.
Bada bam. So. Close us out, brother.
With that being said, we appreciate you guys listening to another episode of Calculated Conversation, KBOO Community Radio, 90.7 FM. I am David Jefferson. That's your co-host, Kent Jones.
Yeah.
And again, real quick on the social media tip on Facebook, Calculated Conversation. There's a page, and there's a regular page and a fan page. Twitter's at Calculated Talk. Instagram is at Calculated Conversation, and Gmail is at Calculated Conversation Gmail. So we here for you, man. Let's keep it going. See you next Tuesday, 7 o'clock on the dot.
Yes.
Express yourself continuously.
This is 90.7 FM, KBOO. You're listening to the Melting Pot Radio Show. Thank you.